Now, I was in the room that in some of those early planning meetings when we put this together. I think the original concept was to do something to help improve people's general financial literacy and provide more and better financial education for folks who needed that sort of information. And as policymakers, we sort of looked around even back in those days and realized that there was an awful lot of information that was already out there, and it was good information. But we also figured out quickly that people didn't seem to be able to find that information. And so the concept for Money Smart, sort of sometimes as the light bulb goes off in your brain, was just that we would try and do a big promotion and awareness campaign to put the information that was already out there in the hands of the people who needed it. And one of the ways to do that was to set aside this week, and it's usually, well, it's always been in the spring, and we invite the providers, the people with the information, and we call them our partners, to put on a series of free educational seminars. There's no salesmanship here. So they put on these free educational seminars or meetings. Many of them are now held in libraries or community meetings. They provide information to folks, and we invite consumers to come in and get that information, and we hope increase their knowledge. Now, I don't think any of us are, we don't think you can solve all your problems in one meeting or one seminar, but what we hope is that by bringing some awareness to this issue, that people realize that if they need help, that help is out there and they can go get it.
Do you think that some of this information probably was distributed before the Money Smart Week concept got started? With maybe a bank or another lending institution of some type may have had some flyers, maybe some brochures that maybe they gave new customers when they opened an account, and so that's maybe how they got a tip on how they should better manage their money. But like you say, these were not well distributed apparently, and until you had this opportunity.
Well, I think that you're exactly right, Chris, and I think part of the problem too is, and I mean I do this in my life too. Whenever there's a sales pitch attached, I'm always a little suspect, and I think people should be. That's a very good sort of defensive instinct. So what we do with this Money Smart is we say, sure, if you're a bank and every Wednesday at 6 o'clock, if you invite people to come to your bank and you have a presentation about how to get a mortgage or about how to get a car loan or something like that, that's probably part of your business plan. But in Money Smart Week, you have to do that without the sales pitch. It can't be about the mortgage product that you provide. It has to be, generally speaking, about the different mortgage products that are out there and the value, the difference between a fixed-rate mortgage and a variable rate, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just educational material. There's no sales pitch. And we've been, I think, pretty successful in doing that. The one good thing, what you find is that with all that's going on in the world today, you really can organize a coalition of the willing, these volunteers that come out and want to provide this information to help people get a better understanding. And actually, we have lots of research at the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago that shows if people get information, they make better decisions. You know, no kidding. That's not exactly rocket science, but it's nice to know that it works. And if you get good information, if you find yourself in a situation where you don't feel sort of helpless, you make a better decision. And God knows we all need to make good decisions about our finances.
Now, before we started our conversation, we were talking about how involved your members, the organized groups across the country that help put on their particular version of the programs of Money Smart Week have got things together. But it seemed that Indiana was one of the states that came on very early on in the process. What kind of organization did you folks have to do in getting Hoosier banking institutions interested in this?
Well, it didn't take much at all to get it started in Indiana. In fact, I'm going to guess, now this is just a guess, that they were probably one of the earliest states. And if for those of you that don't know, our Federal Reserve District includes sort of the typical Midwest, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, Michigan, Iowa. Mm-hmm. And of all that group of our prime states in our district, Indiana jumped in there real early. And I think there was a group of people, some of the educators from your universities up there in the Northwest, and in fact, the folks at Centier Bank, for example, were early adopters, if you will. They sort of understood the power of this, of providing this information, and the need to get involved. I mean, another way that this works, and it's sort of a different level, is it's a great way to organize your community, and we believe at the Fed, and of course, I think this model has proven out that if you get local people helping other local people, it's a model that really, really works. And so we'd like to keep that going, and we were very grateful. I know I was always pleased to work with the folks in Indiana. I years and years ago, I used to go down there to, I made presentations at Money Smart events in Indianapolis, and I've been to the northwest part of the state there several times, and over to in the South Bend and Fort Wayne. So it's all over the place. You know what's the easiest way to say is Indiana, you Hoosiers got it, and you got it early, and you've been on this, and we're very, very happy and proud of that fact. And just you know, to keep this going a little bit, to show where you fit in, I mean, we now have about 5,500 events nationwide, and that includes about 4,000 plus partners that put on these events, these educational seminars. And we figure, without, you know, too much pushing and shoving, that we get almost 200,000 people show up at these events during the course of this week nationwide to take advantage of this information. We do all kinds of promotional stuff. I guess the jewel in the crown is the information that's put together in the calendar of events. And usually each community will do some kind of a calendar or put their listing of events online so that people can find, you know, where these events are taking place. We've got some really good national partners. I think I mentioned earlier the National Library Association. They've been very good about providing space for folks that need to have these events. And so people can access this information by going to one of these calendars or online. And I'll give you a plug here for the website. It's
please.
moneysmartweek.org. You should be able to find. I think it's pretty sophisticated these
yes.
days, where you can type in your zip code and find the stuff that's going on in your area. And it's as you described, it's, you know, financial planners, it's banks, it's insurance people. There's all kinds of information available. It's really a great opportunity to learn something, to improve your financial education, and it's all free.
And not only that, if you go to the website, you get a chance to see a nice picture of Ben Franklin winking at you too. So what a bargain in that deal too, I'm sure.
Well, you know, I'm gonna say this sort of tongue in cheek, but years ago, I think maybe even in Indiana, we used to get people, volunteers, and we'd get the Ben Franklin costumes and get them mm-hmm. to dress up and, you know, go to a university and talk to the students, or in Chicago, where they have this huge public transportation, we'd send them out to the train stations and they'd hand out literature. And it was always a lot of fun, you know, the reactions you get when you're walking down the street and you run into Ben Franklin.
One of the things I've noticed in a lot of the information that's out there on the website, and just over the years I've noticed as well too, is that you have programs that are tailored to just about every demographic, just about every income level, so that even if you're a senior, you have a chance to learn something. If you're a young person, you have a chance to learn something, and especially if especially young people, because we know it's very important that they learn the proper things about personal finance very early on, so they don't, if they hopefully won't fall into the same traps that their parents and their grandparents and other adults have fallen into.
That's true. Developing good habits about your money is critical, and this is one of the ways you can improve your financial knowledge and your financial education. And you're exactly right. We have all kinds of courses in various categories and topic areas, whether it's, you know, how to buy real estate, or creating an estate plan for your family, you know, will and a trust, special needs, financing special needs for people with disabilities. We have stuff for veterans, you know, how to get a mortgage. I think one of the things that you probably know is that over the last 10 or 15 years, the products themselves, the financial products, have become increasingly complex. And I mean, it's much harder to understand some of these products, financial products, today than certainly when I was coming up. And so, I guess you know, one of the ways, probably the best way, is, as I said earlier, you've got to be able to get a little bit of a head start to level the playing field. You've got to feel like you have some information before you go into any one of these transactions to commit, yourself to a financial plan or whatever that is. You've got to be able to get information. Information is power, and that's really what this is all about. Another thing I'll mention too, I hate to run long here, but you know, I think we typically think that people with financial problems are poor people, or you know, people who don't have the access or the means. And that's just not true. I mean, there people have problems with money. No matter how much money you have, people have problems managing it. And that's one of the great truths in all this. And so this is appealing to everybody. As you said, it's young kids, which is certainly important. But, you know, people living on a fixed income, retirees, I mean, it's critical to be able to manage your money. Even people would have, as I said, who have money, sometimes have trouble managing it. Mm-hmm. And they need this information, too. So it really appeals to almost everyone who has a need for more and better financial information.